good to see everybody here. And you know, there is there's always been all kinds of talk on what a church should look like. You know, what really makes a church church. That's a big subject of debate, and there's about a million different opinions, you know, on what that is and what that means. And it's different for just about every person. You know, everybody has kind of their opinion on what church really is to them, what it should be like. And unfortunately, we all, I think, have seen where that opinion gets elevated above truth very often. And very often it becomes a source of disagreement, an argument, and the very thing that is supposed to bind us together and make a difference in the world ends up, unfortunately, tearing us apart. Happens often. Happens easily. You know, some people think that a church should be as stripped down as possible, you know, organic, never meeting in a building, just keep it in living rooms, and that's fine. That works. Some people say, no, it needs to be in a big lofty cathedral. You know, the more elaborate, the better, because it takes your attention upward. That's fine too. You know, we're meeting in a building, you know. We did meet at a church building. And then there's the style debate, right? As far as what that actually ends up being like once you're in that space. Are you going to be, completely modern and contemporary and have nothing that references, former traditions? Or are you going to be, tradition driven and kind of, you know, the old school, old guard mentality? Are you going to use liturgy or not? What kind of Bible translation should a church use? And then there's a whole other gamut of things under that. How should you appear when you come to church? Is there really such a thing as church clothes? You know, does that exist? Do you find that on a rack somewhere? You know, so it's like there's all of these things that just get circulated around and talked about. Then there's what should a church do? And there's 1,000 opinions on that. Should the church really just be focused on the church itself and edifying one another and growing deep together and not really have that much of a conscious effort to go beyond the church? Or should a church exist solely for the cause of reaching out beyond your walls? There's all kinds of opinion. There's all kinds of conversation. There's all kinds of debate about how you should build the church, what a church should be like. So we want to cut through all of that. Not that those questions aren't good questions. Not that they shouldn't be talked about. They should. We should have discussion and dialogue, and we should always be willing to explore, maybe, you know, we're off on something. We should always have an open mind on that. But what we need to do above all else is cut through the noise. You know, cut through all the varying opinions. We need to go straight to the source. And that's why I've titled the message today, our talk, Church Blueprints. Church Blueprints. Because there really is a design for the church. It's not mine. Hallelujah. You know, you're happy about that. It's not your design. It's not a man-made thing. The design for the church, the blueprints, as it were, for the church, come straight from Jesus Christ himself, the head of the church. So it makes sense, since he's the one that established it, he's the one that formed it, he's the one who created the institution of the church, it makes sense that we go right to him to find out how it should be, right? So, with that in mind, I hope you have a handout. Hopefully everybody got one. If not, you can maybe share with your spouse if you're into sharing, which I hope you are. Hopefully you got a pen too. Same thing. You can share, maybe between the two of you. But right away, I want to tell you, that Christ desires something. Christ desires something. And what he desires is that his church would carry out the commission. Christ desires his church to carry out the commission that he gave us. Now, there are some specifics under each of these things, but there's really only two main components of what Christ desired to do with his church. There's really only two aspects of his design for the church, two main ones. Again, under that, there's more to talk about, there's more to unpack. But there really are only two major pillars, if you will, about Christ's design for the church that serve as the foundation for it. And the first one is this, that Christ desires his church to carry out the commission he gave us. And by commission, I mean the Great Commission. The Great Commission. That's found in Matthew 28, 19 through 20. I have it on your handout for you. And I think I put it on here too, so we can go to that. And no, I didn't. So we'll just look at the handout or your copy of God's Word. Here we go. It says this. This is Jesus' word. This is Christ himself. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. There's a reason I have it in bold, because that's very, very important. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. It's another significant thing. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. One God, three persons. Evidence of Trinity right there. And teaching them, another significant part of this, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So in Christ's great commission to not just the original 12 disciples, you're not off the hook, it wasn't just for them, it was to every disciple of his ever to come about. If you were born 300 years ago, if you're born now, 300 years in the future, it's any disciple of Jesus Christ, this commission is to you, okay? And it's to go and make disciples, to baptize those disciples, and teach them for their own growth, okay? So, here's what's wrapped up in the Great Commission. Making new disciples, how do we do that? We make new disciples by proclaiming the gospel. That's how it's done. You proclaim the gospel with your mouth, with words, and that's how you make a new disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not done through programs, you know? Programs aren't bad. I'm not here to say if you have programs and activities, that's evil and that's not accomplishing anything. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is no program, no activity ever made a disciple. It's the proclamation of the gospel. That's what does it. It's what brings people to Christ. You know, it's kind of, should be common sense, but unfortunately it's not. Sometimes we have a hard time grasping that. How do we really bring people to Christ? Well, tell them the gospel, right? So they receive that. They are now a new disciple of Jesus Christ. What happens next? From the Great Commission, we see it. We baptize those new disciples. We baptize them into the body of Christ, into the local church, into the identity of Christ. That's what happens. Then we teach them so that they will grow spiritually, so that they will have foundation in and of themselves, so they'll know doctrine, so they'll know proper theology, so they'll know the Word of God, all for the purpose, though, not just so they can get fat spiritually, you know, because that's what we have enough of. We have enough fat Christians, you know, that just continue to gorge ourselves without doing anything else with it. The whole point of doctrine and teaching and growing is to grow closer in your own walk with God, with Jesus Christ, your Savior. But it's also so that you can then be equipped to go out and make new disciples. As you were introduced the gospel, as you believed it, as you received it and became a new disciple yourself, then you're to reciprocate that. See, Christianity is all about multiplication. It's all about it. It's not about just staying with the status quo. It's about multiplication. It's about addition. That's what it's about. So you make new disciples by proclaiming the gospel, baptize those new disciples into the body of Christ, teach them, grow them, mentor them, nurture them. Don't make them spiritual orphans, but then send them out so that the disciples will make disciples. That's the great commission of Jesus Christ. That's what he desires his church to carry out. Secondly, like I said, there's really only two main things. Secondly, Christ desires that his church would be continually and increasingly together. Christ desires his church to continually and increasingly come together. For what? Why does he want us to do that? Well, he wants us to come together for teaching. I just said that was important. You have to still have that. You can't not have biblical teaching. Has to be a part of the church. It's part of the blueprint. Teaching. Sound doctrine. Theology. what God's Word has to say about every issue of life. So we need to come together for teaching. We also need to come together for prayer. You know, I would certainly hope and I believe that we all have prayer as an important part of our own individual Christian lives. And we do pray together as an assembly. But you know what? We don't do it enough. We don't do it enough. Because the church is commanded to constantly pray together as a group, as an assembly, as corporate prayer is concerned. So we come together for prayer. Thirdly, for community and unity. Community and unity. That means togetherness, fellowship, and that doesn't just mean eating. In our American culture, you know, we think, especially in this state, we think fellowship. Oh, that means potluck, right? Means buffet. Woo! But no, fellowship goes so much deeper than that. It's a sharing. It's a mutual pouring in to one another's lives. And so I pour into you, you pour into me. I invest in your life, and you invest in mine. It's accountability. Where are you in your walk with God? Oh, I'm here. Where are you? It's carrying on together in all things in life. Community and unity. And then also for encouragement. Building one another up. Edifying one another. Bringing people up from the ground. Saying, I'm here for you. I'm here with you. Let me tell you about the hope that we all have. Let me remind you of that, because you need to be reminded right now, because you're low. You're down. And then they do it for you when you're there, you know? Because we all go through incredibly discouraging times in this life. Happens all the time. Scripture backs these things up. It's not just me. I want you to look at Acts chapter 2, 42 through 47. And again, I have it on the handout, or you can follow along in your own copy of God's Word. Acts 2, 42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Unity. Community. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. See, teaching, prayer, community and unity, encouragement. It's all right there. That's the blueprint. This was the first church. This is right after the church was formed. And in one day, 3,000 people came to Christ and formed the church. And as they carried on, this was always what marked them, always what defined them. They didn't just set immediately to forming all of these, you know, committees and all of these activities and all these programs. That just wasn't that important to them. What was important to them were those things, that there would be teaching, that there would be prayer, that there would be genuine community and unity, that there'd be encouragement taking place. That was it. That's the DNA of the church right there. Then also Hebrews 10, 24 through 25. This is the kind of the continual and increasing aspect of coming together. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That's encouragement. How are we going to do that? Let's consider that. Let's think about that. Let's talk about that. How are we going to encourage one another? Not giving up meeting together. Some translations say not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as some are in the habit of doing, but rather encouraging. There it is again. Encouraging one another. How are you going to encourage one another? By getting together. By meeting together. You can't encourage one another if you don't see each other, right? But encouraging one another, and all the more, there's the increase, you know, the increasing aspect, and all the more as you see the day approaching. What is the day? What's the day? Capital D. It's the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His second coming. In other words, we've always been in an hourglass that's running out. From the time Jesus went back to heaven, when the time He ascended, the clock started ticking. As soon as He ascended, the clock started speeding up towards His coming back again. And we've always been doing that all through the centuries. We've been getting closer and closer and closer. And we can all be here all day talking about if or not we are closer still, you know, if it's the end of the age that we're living in, and You know, the whole Blood Moon thing got everybody all crazy, and there's about 1,000 YouTube videos on it, and I mean, I leave you for that. I'm not even going to chime in on all that. Bob might. But I'm not. I will remain about it. But you know, so I mean, there is question about, are we even closer than we were? Maybe. Maybe so. Hey, I hope so too. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, right? Amen. But, the Bible says no one knows the day or the hour of the appearing of the Son of Man, not the angels of heaven nor the Son. He's let that be the Father's prerogative, where the Father looks at him and says, go, then he comes. That's all we know for sure. But we do know it's going to happen. There will be a day of the Lord when everything we see and know now is all done away with, and Jesus says, behold, I make all things new. I'm really excited about that day. But what that means for us is, however much time we're given on purpose for a purpose. The time we're given on purpose for a purpose. And that purpose is to be a church that carries out the commission that Jesus originally gave us, and to be a church that continually and increasingly comes together for all the things I just talked about. I want to unpack that a little bit more, though, because it's so important that we understand what all this means. Making new disciples by proclaiming the gospel, you would not be strange at all if that scares you to death. Like that's a natural human reaction, to be just overwhelmed at the prospect. Because carrying the gospel out and actually proclaiming it, that means you're doing it to a couple different groups of people. You're proclaiming the gospel to people that you know, people that you actually already are kind of moving in circles with. You know, it's natural fellowship. It's your natural associations. It's your friends, your family, your coworkers, your neighbors that you're right next to that you know. You proclaim the gospel to them. You tell them about it. You make sure they know it. But it's also, see, that's the part that, it's, thank you, David, appreciate that. Yeah, no, really, thank you. That's the part that's kind of easier. Like, we can do that without too much anxiety, you know, most of the time. It's also, though, sharing the gospel with people that are outside of our normal circles. It's strangers. It's friends of friends. It's whomever God places along your path. You're in the long line at the grocery store. There's a chance for the gospel to be proclaimed. Really. You're out at some community event. Like, we've got Chili Fest coming up, right? Isn't that like next weekend? Oh, it was?
Swing and miss. Yes.
I miss Chili Night.
All right.
I'm really bummed about that, actually. Oh, well. Anyway, I'm over it. But it's things like that, you know? It's events like that. There was an activity in the Fayetteville City Park last Sunday, right, Bob?
Yeah.
Bob, you led how many people to the Lord?
Well, our team.
Or the team, not the shooter.
68.
What?
68.
68. Just an afternoon in the park. I mean, it's things like that. But that's the stuff that's a little bit more nervousness inducing, right? More nerve-wracking. A little bit more anxiety comes from that. Naturally speaking. All of that, though, you know how it gets overcome? That anxiousness, that nervousness, that I just don't know if I can do it. I don't know if I can really say the right thing. I don't know if I can communicate the gospel clearly enough. I don't know if I can articulate it. There's two things that happen to get that all to go away. One is you realize it's not about you. You take yourself out of the equation. It's not about me on display. It's not about me being listened to. It's not about me being the one speaking. You get yourself out of the picture so the pressure's off. Then the second thing is, once you're out of the picture, you rely on and depend on exclusively, entirely, the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you are simply the megaphone through which He pronounces the gospel. So that you are the conduit through which He communicates. And that's all you are. The only reason you're there is for him to have a mouth to speak through. And makes all the difference, doesn't it? Yeah, it's all the difference. When you realize he's responsible for actually saving people, not you. It makes so much difference. Right, David? We've talked about that recently. But it's still something we have to do, church. It's still something we're called to be faithful to. Called to be determined about. Called to be intentional with. It's making those new disciples. And then as far as coming together, just want to say a word about that. This continually coming together, this increasingly coming together for teaching, for prayer, for community, for unity, like we saw in Acts. It doesn't mean we just have more church services. Because what I'm doing up here and what we gather here on Sunday morning is very important. Please don't mistake me. Very important that we have a corporate time of worshiping God together, that we have a corporate time where the Word is taught publicly and deliberately, and you're under the sound of the Word of God, you're under its authority. That's absolutely important. It really is. But it is not enough. It is not enough to establish true community in Christ. It's not enough to truly develop a family of God. Preaching and teaching, as important as it is, just doesn't go deep enough. That's not where life change constantly occurs. That's not where connections really are formed and we grow deep as a local body. That happens in the context of smaller group settings, of being in homes together, of being out at a coffee shop together, of having one-on-one, two-on-one, three-on-one, small conversation. That's where you can really let your guard down and you can let people know what's going on in your life. That's where people can pour into your life and you pour into theirs. So this is important. And we do need really more opportunities to do this kind of thing. But we also, even more than this context, need the smaller group, the more intimate times where we're together as family. So, the question is, what does all that mean for LifePoint? What does all that mean for our church? How will LifePoint Church seek to be in line with Christ's design? There's the blueprints. How are we going to seek to do that? What's that mean for us? We can go on to the next slide. First of all, we're going to have to be very intentional and consistent about sharing the gospel, like we've already looked at. We can go forward from that. We've already talked about that, our natural associations, as well as the people outside of that. We've got to be very more intentional about that, church. We've got to be willing to do that. We've got to be willing and eager, even, to welcome God to give us those opportunities. And we've got to seize them when they're there. We've got to be vocal about the gospel as a church. And the way that happens is individual in your own families, as well as when we come together. Okay? There also, though, needs to be more opportunities, and there will be. There will be more opportunities to gather for teaching, for prayer, for encouragement, for serving, and for times to just have fun and enjoy one another's company. We're going to create more opportunities of that. Because, here's the thing. This is where, let's just shift gears a little bit, and let's just pretend we're all in a living room together. We're just on couches. We're having coffee. We're just casually conversing, you know, talking about some things. We have been a church for, this is our third year of going on ministry. And things are great. Things are so good in so many ways. I mean, God is faithful. God is so good. And we have seen evidence of growth taking place. We've seen evidence of community being built. We've seen examples of unity. Bob and David and I get together every week and we talk about things. We talk about you. Yep. If your ears burn, Wednesday afternoons about 4:45, there's why. And we pray. We pray together, the three of us, about very specific things. And we share things we're concerned about, things that we've noticed that are encouraging. And we, every week, we have something to share that's encouraging. And so there are signs of us starting to gel and starting to go deeper. And it takes a while. You know, it takes time. When you're starting something from scratch, it doesn't just happen. You know, it has to be built. It has to be cultivated and grown. And it takes a while. And we feel like we're seeing some of that happen. And it's exciting. It's exciting. But it's not enough. It's not enough. We need more of that. We need to be able to go even deeper than we are. We need to be able to establish even stronger community ties, even more unity, even more fellowship. So, one thing that we did, I guess it was our first year together, we would meet on Wednesday evenings, and we would meet at the old CEF building, that's where we were. And it was always a small group, but you know what? It was always so awesome. It was always such a good time. We just had a brief devotional. It was more conversational. We spent most of the time in prayer together. It was rich. The kids still had their time, so we gave the kids more of an opportunity to get foundation in the Word and to grow deeper, which is so important for our children. So important. They've got to be our focus. But, you know, it just kind of didn't work anymore. And that's okay. That's no one's fault. It just kind of stopped happening. And we tried different ways of resurrecting that, and nothing worked. Nothing at all. And again, that's okay. It is what it is. What we want to do, though, is look at starting that up again. And it's not going to probably be weekly every week. We might just start with once a month gathering together. We're going to kind of work on this, and we'll let you know when we've kind of settled on what that's going to look like. But we are going to be bringing back some form, some type of another midweek gathering together, because we need more of that. Sunday mornings only are just not enough. It's not enough. With all the pressure out there in the world that we all face, all the attack we're always under spiritually, all the discouragement you battle every single day, we need each other, church. We need each other more. We need each other more. So we're going to create more opportunity for that. I'm going to embarrass Michelle and single her out and just thank you so much for what you do with the ladies, with the women. I can't thank you enough. And I know the women feel the same way. Michelle has a heart for just pouring into other women, and she's gifted in that. And she creates context to where it's a safe place to let your guard down and just come and talk. And there may be a devotional, there may not be. You know what? Because there doesn't always have to be. You can still grow stronger in Christ together without always having to have prepared, you know, lessons. Sometimes the Spirit will just take something and go with it, one conversation. But, you know, there's a monthly time where they get together. I think it's monthly, right? Or ish. There's another one coming up, though, I think, right, at Courtney's house, right? Courtney Priestley. And that's just such an encouraging time for the ladies when they do that. And we're gonna create more of that. We're not gonna always depend on Michelle to do it and put it all on her. We're gonna create other pockets of that happening. The men's group, we've had men's breakfast several times. It's not consistent and it's not regular, the times we've gotten together have been great times. We're gonna make those more consistent. We're gonna make those more regular now to create opportunities for the men to get together and just be men together, you know? Or yeah, maybe we'll show some home improvement or something, you know? But we need to pour into each other away from our normal context of husband and wife all the time. We've got to have times where we get away from that with fellow men and fellow women. We're going to create more times for that. There's also going to be just times where we get together and just have fun together. You know, we don't do that. We need to do that. We need to just get together and play some board games. You guys ever heard of the game Mexican Train with dominoes?
Yes.
We love that game. That's perfect.
Seriously, we're playing.
Yeah, that's perfect. We are. We're playing dominoes.
Just short of Canasta and Sanka.
Right, that's next. But, you know, it's things like that. It's getting together around a board game where fun can just happen and silliness and just regular conversation where we get to know each other. And I've seen some of that take place where a few of you kind of started to get together more, and you've gone over to people's houses and shared a meal together. We need to do more of that where we're pouring in to one another. Okay, and then there's also the serving opportunities. The times where this church has come together for service of some sort has been just such rich, rich times. We've done several, actually. For as small of a church as we are, we've done several different service outreaches. But we need to do more, and we need to have more involvement in it, because we can't just keep it to where it's just a few of us all the time. We need more involvement in serving the community out from us. And there's so many opportunities all the time, all year long. There's opportunities to go out and serve the community at large, where we love on them, we give them what they need physically, but we share the gospel with them as well. And so we want to pursue more of that. All right. So these are all very specific, practical things that we here at LifePoint are going to be pursuing. Okay. Before I tell you my part personally, I want to just quickly let you know what we have for you. This is credit to my wife. She worked very, very hard on this. I thank her so much. So you thank her too when you see her, okay? Because she really did work hard on this. We've used this before. This is the 2.0 version. It's a little bit more durable. We had door hangers that had our business card on it. This time they're made out of more durable material. They're not so flimsy. There's a little hole to put on the door. You just kind of pop it through. And on the back, there's the gospel right there. John 3:16 from the Holman, and it says, "I love you, God. Come visit us at LifePoint to find out more." Isn't that genius? Brilliant, right? So that you can tear off the business card portion. You put these on the door. What I want to do is just give these to you all, and you don't have to do this in a big group. You can do it with your family. It'd be a great opportunity for husband and wife to do with kids. Great outreach opportunity. Just awesome. So, let me just hand these out. I'll let you pass these down. That's enough. Let's go ahead and do this. I would love to hear about what you're going to do with this, or how you do this, or how much fun you had with it, because I know it will be. I know you'll have a blast with it. All right, so, there we go. Now, that's us as a church. That's us together. I just want to close by sharing with you what I'm going to do personally as your pastor. What am I going to do personally as your pastor to be more in line with Christ's design? What am I, I've shared what we're going to do as LifePoint together to be more in line with Christ's design and His blueprints. What am I going to do personally as your pastor? Well, basically, I'm going to do more to live out, to apply a few very specific strategies to apply Ephesians 4:11 through 12, because that is the blueprint for what a pastor is supposed to do. Ephesians 4:11 says, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers." He gave those. He instituted those offices. Why? What was the purpose? What was the point? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So the pastor's job, you know what my main job is to equip you. It's to give you the resources you need. It's to teach and train you and be there for you so that you as the church will go out and actually do the work of the ministry. So that you will serve others. So that you will evangelize and make new disciples. So that you will bring people into our midst. It's me helping you do that, not me doing it for you. You know, and I would be doing you a great disservice if I just tried to do it all. A, I can't. B, I'd be burned out horribly. But C, you'd be missing out on using your gifts that God has given you, that He hasn't given me, to go out and do the work of the ministry. Because it's all unique. It's all individual based. Here's how I'm going to do that in very practical ways. I was working at Life Strategies Counseling. I was managing the office there. It started off initially as being just something very, very part-time, trying to supplement my income because our church, just honestly hasn't grown to the point where I can take a full-time income from here. So I had to supplement the income somehow. That opportunity came about. But what happened is it began to blossom into something more than it was supposed to be. It kind of got out of control, and it started taking over every aspect of my life and causing my role as pastor to suffer. I mean, really, it did. It just being very blunt and very honest. So after spending a lot of time praying about it, thinking through it, I was so stressed out, I had literally nothing to give. Maybe you noticed it, maybe you didn't. Along with all that happened with my mother, losing her, I was truly at a breaking point. I mean, I was right there, right at the edge. And I have enough, counseling background to know when someone's looking at a breakdown, and I was there. I had all the symptoms. So basically, long story short, I quit. I stepped away from Life Strategies. I'm no longer doing that. Thursday was my last day. I still am going to have to supplement my income, so I'm going to be subbing in both Fayette and Raleigh County. God presented that, made that opportunity come about. But what all that is to say is that will free me up much, much, much more to be here for you as your pastor, to devote energy and attention to the work of the ministry. But there's something very specific that I want to tell you about that I really have a burden for, and I believe God is in, and I'm making myself available to you with. I want to make myself available to you as a church, as well as people you know that aren't part of this church, friends, family, coworkers, neighbors that don't have a church family, for counseling, for advice, for mentoring. Again, I have a background in that. I have a passion for counseling. I believe that's one of the spiritual gifts that God has given me. And a lot of people either don't have the money or the time to go to an actual counseling facility, or they don't want to. You know, they're nervous about it. They're scared about it. So I want to just offer myself as a safe place, listening ear. I did that at our previous ministry in Virginia. Before we moved back here, I handled all the counseling for the church. It was great. It was awesome. So I'm here for you in that way. If you need anything, marriage counseling, individual counseling, you have a friend who really could use someone to talk to, I'm here. And this will give me more time to do that. Whereas before, no way I could have done that. No way. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. What can you do personally? We talked about the church together. What can you as individuals or you as husbands and wives do? There's just a couple things. One, you can pray about the specifics that have been shared today. I shared very specific strategies for how we're going to go forward. Please get on board with all that. Please, please just dive in. Jump in with that. Please. We need you. We need you. Pray about those specific things. I just said it. Continue to jump in with both feet. Guys, you already have been doing that. I thank you for that. We see people right in there right now serving the children so that not one person is by themselves. It's awesome. And thank you for doing that. There's other things that you guys are doing. So please don't mistake what I'm saying. I'm not saying you bunch of lazy, no good, rotten people. Why don't you get up and do something? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying what you're doing, continue doing it and do more as you're able. As you're able. Go deep and reach out. Means grow deep, grow in your own life, in your own setting, and then reach out with what God is doing in your life. As He teaches you, as He grows you, pour into other people with that, okay? Then lastly, please pray for strength, wisdom, and faithfulness for your leaders here at LifePoint, which right now are myself, Bob, and David, okay? Pray for us. We need your prayer, and thank you for the way you already have been. I know you do, and we all do. We thank you for that. Sound good? Sound good? So there's our very deliberate, very intentional strategies of how we're going to be more in line with Christ's blueprint for the church. I'm excited to see what He'll do with it. I hope you will be too. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for our worship. Thank you for the time in the Word. Thank you for the time of fellowship. Thank you for every single person here and what they mean to you, more importantly than even what they mean to us. Thank you for the church and for going to such great lengths to bring it about through the death of your Son. That's what inaugurated the church. Thank you that the church is not about us. It's not all us. It's not our church. It's Christ's church. Thank you for the promise that because He is the one that built it, that not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. Thank you for that reality. Help us to just cling to the vision that Christ has for His church. Help us to own it and help us to go forward with it. Give us wisdom. Give us clear direction by Your Spirit. Close doors, open doors. Help us to wait on You and to follow You with all of our being. Thank You in advance for what You will do. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.